You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
Was there a better birthday present available than a win last night?
All afternoon, on the tears of the American media, the day after. Listening to the American media, they cannot fathom how the outpost of the NBA, based on geography, right, the Toronto Raptors, could possibly be outplaying or winning a series against the dynastic Golden State Warriors. I couldn't get enough of it today.
Well, there's
I love it.
Two injuries. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Are they going with the narrative? And I've been reading tweets. I'm not sure which ones you're talking about or different reports. But is it basically, well, these guys might win, but they didn't have KD.
Absolutely. That's coming.
Yeah, but that's what you play. Like, that's why you play the games. Injuries. We didn't know. Like, if LeBron would have gotten hurt last year in the playoffs, it's open season.
Yeah, but even without Kevin Durant,
right,
they were still the favorites. Okay. Yeah. Kevin Durant didn't play a second against Portland.
Yeah.
They crushed them.
They crushed them for fun. Yeah. They said, here, go ahead and have a 15-point lead.
Yeah.
We want to work on some stuff. We'll give you a 15-point boost, and then we'll come back and choke you out and take this game.
Right.
He didn't play in Game 5 or Game 6 against Houston. No one used that as an excuse. Everyone was pumping the tires of the great, big, bad Golden State Warriors.
Well, they deserve that, though.
Of course they deserve that type of love. But now the Raptors deserve love because they've outplayed them, and they're up 2-1.
Absolutely. I don't know why you're ranting, though. Like,
because I've had enough of what's going on down in the States right now, is what I'm saying.
But people are just saying, like, this is technically, and we even said it, we apologize for it, but this is technically David taking down Goliath.
Absolutely it is.
But that's, they're witnessing it right in front of their eyes.
Yeah, but here's what I'm saying, okay? Let me explain what I'm saying.
Right.
Okay? Last night, I thought it was embarrassing, the tone of the post-game press conference. Steve Kerr, were you proud of your team's effort last night?
Right.
You know, Kevin Durant wasn't there and Klay Thompson. Were you proud of them?
Right.
As if Steph Curry and Draymond Green weren't on the court. As if they weren't at home and favored in Vegas.
Yeah.
They're 4.5-point favorites in Vegas.
Well, they were up.
And the Raptors went in and smoked them last night.
Yeah, they deserve to win. The Raptors
absolutely
deserve to win that game.
It was an incredible game for the Raptors.
It was a great game for the Raptors. And that's what I'm saying here. Give respect to the team that went in there and dummied those guys.
Right.
Yes, of course Kevin Durant wasn't playing. Would it be a different story if he was? Absolutely.
Right.
And obviously Klay Thompson didn't play last night. But still, they still had two of the three best players on the court based on resume and pedigree.
Right.
Steph Curry and Draymond Green, and they were at home, and the Raptors laid a beating on them last night.
Now, both of those players you just mentioned were fantastic for Golden State, but it wasn't enough. There wasn't enough other guys. Cook was unreal, too.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't.
But it wasn't enough. The Raptors took it to them, and they bent, but they didn't break, and it was over.
They were the better team.
Every Raptor played fantastic last night.
The starting five, every one of the starting five had 17 or more points.
Yeah.
17 or more for all five starters last night. They went into the greatest shooting team in history's building and put up 17 threes.
Mm-hmm. And Kawhi had a quiet first half. I was watching him. Like, he's passing, he's doing this, he's doing that.
Absolutely.
But what would you take next game? Would you take Kawhi going legend? Or the support, like,
I think support, because you know what?
He did his thing. What did he get? 30?
Yeah, he had 30.
Steph went legend last night. They lost.
Yeah, it wasn't enough.
You need support.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, you need support. You need support. And Klay Thompson is gonna play tomorrow. I don't know how effective he's gonna be.
You make him run up and down that court.
Absolutely. And Kevin Durant is out.
Yeah.
And honestly, this charade about him being
he's not coming back.
It's not happening.
No.
Okay, he didn't even
practice
today.
So now you go for the kill tomorrow night.
Absolutely.
Because if he can barely run up and down the court, you go for the kill.
Absolutely.
And you try to win it at home and don't ever go back there.
No, that's exactly what you've got to do tomorrow night. And
because Durant, you know, you talk to people, it's like, if you ask that guy about Durant, and everybody, not that I know insiders or whatever, but they say he's not coming back. He's not playing. It's all a charade that he's got the ice pack, and he might be available. But everyone says, not a chance.
No.
No chance.
He's not playing. Like, and if he does show up, it's,
I think it's game seven.
Maybe game
it's
seven.
A scare if they make it saying, this guy's going to be around.
Exactly. It's the boogeyman. Look out. Kevin Durant could be showing up at any point.
It's John Wick.
Right. Exactly.
It's like, oh, you don't want John Wick coming around, but he ain't coming around.
Kevin Durant is John Wick. That's what he is.
Right.
You know, he's a ghost, and he's a guy that would scare you clearly if he's playing. But yeah, that's what I spent my day just getting fired up about last night.
Well, it was a great game. They deserved to win.
Oh, they played so well. No, I'm happy that the Raptors played so well. I'm just saying that, you know, it doesn't change anything from Toronto's perspective. You know, if you're a Raptor fan, this is amazing. They're up 2-1. You bask in it. It's not over by any means.
You got to be careful. You're halfway there.
Oh, it's not over by any means.
But they were fantastic last night, and they deserved to win. And, you know, they even trying to contain Curry, like, it wasn't even contained him. You just contained everyone else. You're like, okay, let this guy get 47.
Right.
That was half the points they generated.
He had a little less than everyone else.
I'm tired of everybody saying, and you obviously have to say it because it's part of game planning, but as far as Steph Curry goes, we've got to do a better job of shutting. You're not doing it. You just can't do it. He's one of those players. You are not going to limit him. It just, because he knew in his head, he's like, I got to take control of this game if we have a chance to win. What did he put up? He had a career high in the playoffs.
Yeah, he had 47-point night.
47 points.
You got to limit damage from everyone else, though.
Which is what they did last night. Well, yeah.
Boogie Hayes from 3 points.
Yeah, Boogie was brutal.
He was. They pulled him off. Basically, you got to. And he was so frustrated. His body language too was terrible.
He had a great game too.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying about like what I've picked up on. And I can't paint everyone with the same brush.
Right.
But this idea, you know, I was watching First Take this morning. The first block was, should we feel bad for Steph Curry?
Like, why?
Because Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant are injured. Should we feel bad for a guy who's got 3 rings, who got gift-wrapped Kevin Durant after a 73-win season, has never faced adversity at all, and one game without Klay Thompson, people are supposed to what? Cry for Steph Curry? No. If I'm Steph, I'd be embarrassed by that. I'd come out and say, shut up. Like, I'm a man, and I'm here to play. We got smoke last night. Let's see where we're at tomorrow night.
But I don't think he was making...
No, he's not. He's not. I'm just saying
that's your point. It's the American media.
Exactly. Like, now people are starting to peddle. Do you put an asterisk on this if somehow the Raptors find a way to win this? Because Durant and Clay and...
If this was a team with LeBron on it or somebody else, wouldn't even be a question.
Never. But okay, like, well, let me ask...
These guys from Toronto, God forbid that they beat Steph Curry. It's a...
They cannot compute with this idea
but let me
that
ask you
Toronto
a question.
Is winning a playoff
round. When you look at all the winners, like... All the teams that have won championships, is there ever an asterisk beside it going, oh, that guy was hurt, so they shouldn't have won?
No, there isn't. And there won't be historically, of course not.
It's
and in
just
Toronto, nobody cares. You had to fight to get here, and you're playing who you're playing. And again, they're still a really good team. Make no mistake, that team that Golden State put on the floor last night still beats 20 or 25 teams in the NBA every night. 20 to 25 teams at home, they absolutely just disperse them. Yeah. Say, get out of here. Like, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Iguodala, Boogie, move along.
Yeah.
They couldn't do it against the Raptors because the Raptors showed up to play. But if anything, I would say what you want to talk about an asterisk. If anything, this highlights the idea that the past two championships that they won should have an asterisk beside it. Because for the first time in 2 years, this team is dealing with the reality of pro sports, what every other team in North American pro sports has to deal with.
Yeah.
Mortality. No guarantees. Yeah. When they got Kevin Durant, they were unbeatable because of the dynamics of the sport.
Yeah.
It's just the truth. When you got Durant, no one can beat you.
Yeah.
Finally, you're dealing with the same hand that everyone else in the NBA, NHL, NFL, baseball have to deal with. And because you're down 2-1, we're going to cry about it?
Well, excuses.
Or people are going to say, like, oh, sorry, this sucks for Steph Curry. That's a joke.
No, it's ridiculous. But you know what?
An unbelievable team is competing, and you're not a super team anymore.
Exactly. So you're still a great team. You're just not invincible. And the Raptors are going in there and taking games off you.
Excuses are for losers. That's
right.
That's what it is. Because how many times have you seen something, but there's the, well, yeah, but. Yeah, but this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but. Hey, they lost. So I don't know if it's more the media surrounding it. I don't know if Steve Kerr came out and said, hey, we're missing our lineup.
We got the Steve Kerr postgame, right, last night? Okay, this was the first question he was asked, kind of a softball. Hey, how do you feel about your team tonight? Yeah. You know, you're dealing with injuries, and I know it's tough on you. As if he's coaching the Washington Generals. And here's what Steve Kerr said postgame.
Very proud. They played really, really hard. And gave it everything they had, and just ran into a better team tonight. Toronto played an excellent game.
So, pumps the tires of the Raptors.
And should.
But, you know, really proud. You know, they worked really hard tonight. It's the NBA Finals, man. Like, you got
beat. Were they supposed to not work hard?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that's my point. And it was more about the media asking him, like, you know, obviously, what do you expect out of your guys without Clay and without Kevin and Kevon Looney, who 95% of the NBA world couldn't pick out of a lineup, but because he's not in the lineup, all of a sudden, well, what do you want out of the Golden State Warriors?
Listen, not once is there going to be a star beside the Raptors.
It's not over yet either.
Exactly. Like I say, it's half over.
Right.
They're halfway there, and Golden State's probably going to have something to say about it tomorrow. Oh. Clay Thompson's going to show up.
He's going to play tomorrow night.
And get it tomorrow, though.
Well, yeah.
Get it tomorrow so if it's all over and it doesn't work out, and you don't want to look back ever at a series. I played in the Stanley Cup Final where we had triple overtime in Game 3 against Detroit, and everybody knew that if we kind of got that one, they'd be tired, and we might have an advantage, and they scored in overtime. Larionov scored in overtime, and they went on to rinse us. Yeah. But you don't want to have a game where you just look back and say, we had to get that one. That was the...
Right.
So go get it tomorrow.
Well, and that could have been the case last night. How often have we seen that in pro sports history where a team's like, man, we should win this one because of what's going on over there?
Well, that was the big narrative going in. They got to get this
one. And they did. They went in and said, we're taking it.
Have that same pressure tomorrow night.
Absolutely. Take it tomorrow night.
It wasn't a trap game, but that was one where if they lost that last night, I think that's the difference in the series. Like, that's what... You know,
absolutely.
Like, instead, they knew what was at stake and almost doubled down. Like, every guy was good. Danny Green was... Every time this guy jacked something up, it was three
incredible.
After three.
I thought the main guy for me was Kyle Lowry. He was a machine out there.
Yeah. That was vintage.
It was like there was no choking. Where are you? You're an invisible. He was the main man out there, and he was awesome. That was my favorite game watching him as a Raptor.
Yep. We got to get into Shovegate.
Yeah, Shovegate with...
Can
you believe it's one of the owners of
the team? And the guy's worth $2.5 billion. He's not a pigeon. Like, he's...
No.
He's a pigeon for what he did last night. I 100% disagree with a jackass putting his hands on a player.
Don't touch a guy. Like, it's like me or you or whoever, a pro athlete walking into somebody's accounting firm and just shoving a random guy.
Yeah, that's his workspace.
Like, what the hell are you doing? That's his workspace. But he did not scratch his eyes out.
No, I know. They're acting like this guy, like, suckered Lowry.
Remove him from the game, but they're talking about this guy never being able...
No,
I thought he would have had the power to say, "Yeah, actually, you're not escorting me out. I own the team."
Well, when you do something like that, you have to pay the piper. And the league stepped in, and the league got
The league's proactive. Embarrassed by it. Because
absolutely,
it's an owner.
An owner.
You know, those emails were flying last night, and they said, "You're not going to believe."
Yeah.
Who it was that we had to escort out of the building.
I know, but for him to be in, like, for a year, never to be able to sit there again, like, come on.
Well, but here's the problem that you're doing.
Apparently he's going to get fined, too.
Yeah, they just issued another statement. Like, he's been suspended. The team has suspended him, whatever that means. He's an owner. I mean, I don't really know what that means.
Yeah, but he can go Bobby Valentine in a private box, can he? I mean, like, put a wig on and a hat and some glasses. That's what he should do. Go Bobby Valentine in a box.
Sit in your mansion.
Who the hell's gonna know? He's probably got a private entrance. Whatever,
he would, but for just, sure. But it's not in his best interest.
Yeah,
to
just
do
stay in your mansion and watch.
Get a wig and glasses.
It was completely. I was out of all of that. I was more focused on the poor lady in the yellow suit who got ran in that transaction.
Oh, it's a dangerous play.
It's a dangerous area.
When these guys go into the stands,
they're big men, and she's just. I mean, unsuspecting is the wrong word because she's there and she's
got
a great
seat. But you can't protect yourself.
No.
You don't have enough time.
She got dummied on that play. Nobody's concerned about her. Hero guy reaches over two seats and gives Lowry like the wimpiest shove you've ever seen. Like, he deserves it and he deserves, you know, the backlash, but it's not like I say, he didn't sucker him.
Kyle's going to be okay.
Kyle will be fine. A fantastic game, but it's Shovegate for sure.
Well,
you're not supposed to do that. But I thought there was an overreaction there.
Well, here's my take.
He was
on
an
it.
Idiot.
Here's my take on it, because I don't know what he said either. You know,
that's something.
Swearing
yeah.
at him too.
Yeah.
And who knows what he said? It goes without saying. You know, you can't touch the players. You certainly can't push them and start swearing at them when Kyle's just doing his job and he didn't land on him.
No.
Now I can understand it. If Kyle landed on him and was leaning on him, you might be like, okay, get off,
dude. Yeah, exactly.
Or whatever. But I think the players probably are going to attack this issue because he's an owner. Because he's an owner. You guys know it. Like, in pro sports, players, they are programmed to dislike the owners. They just don't like them. You know, it's always a battle.
Right.
It's always, you know,
CBA battle.
CBA and all that kind of stuff. Like, LeBron is on the warpath for this guy. I don't believe LeBron James would have the same push and energy
if this is Joe Blow.
If it was just a random fan.
Right.
I think the fact that he's an owner, they're looking at this saying, whoa, excuse me?
Here's an opening.
You're an owner and you're pushing a player?
Yeah.
You think you own us, so you think you can do whatever the hell you want?
In my mind,
I think this guy's in big trouble.
Well, I was...
Big trouble.
I was thinking about this last night.
I don't know if he's going to be able to own the team.
Were they going to force him? The guy who...
That's what Cos was saying on the way in, and I thought it was so outrageous. Force this guy to sell?
If the players push hard enough, Adam Silver did it with the Clippers owner.
That's what I was trying to remember. That's the Clippers owner.
What the hell's his name?
Old racist guy.
Donald Sterling.
Yeah.
Now, that was so extreme and obviously quite different.
Right.
And to suggest that this guy, I'm not saying he should lose his stake or be banned for life.
Right.
Like, not even remotely close. But what I'm saying is, if you get enough push from the players who start saying, hey, I'm not going to let this die. I don't like what I saw.
Right.
Then Silver.
This guy had some gin and tonics in a private box, walked out, and was like, get out of here, man. And he is in the most trouble.
He is. And you're right. Trouble. And Hayes, you're right because of who he is. If that was, because we've seen, I was trying to think last night, altercations between fans and players several times.
Well, the King Daddy Topper is the guy that jumped in the penalty box in Philadelphia fight Ty Domi.
Domi dummied him until Kevin Collins broke it up. Still frustrates me. I wanted Collins to at least allow him a little bit more time to rough him up.
Like, where did the guy go when he left the court? Did he just go sit in the Board of Governors room?
No, I think you walk out the door. You're embarrassed.
There.
And plus, who was he with? Was he with a... I thought he looked like he was with
like
a wife or something.
She
like
just
stayed
behind.
I like
how she was like, I'm not
leaving.
I'm staying behind.
I kind of respect that,
That's
too.
Where she does the swivel in the seat, like, nothing to see
not
here.
I'm
not with this guy.
I told him he shouldn't have come tonight.
It was a dumb move by him, but I don't think... This guy's life is not going to be ruined. He's not going to... Like, he made a...
He's a billionaire.
Error in judgment.
No one knows who he is. It's not like this
guy. He's a tech guy. He's a billionaire tech guy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, he'll go about his life and, you know, again, it's not the end of the world. He shoved him a little bit. I don't know what he said. You know, who knows what he said.
Well, that's the
thing.
It was like an injury in sports where if you hit a guy from behind and they get right back up and get into the play, maybe it's not looked at. But if the guy goes down and acts like he's severely hurt and motionless on the ground, player safety is going to look at it.
Kyle could have let it go.
And
he could have let it go and went back into the play and said, okay, what's going on here? What's the, you know, where are we at? But he made a stink about it.
He doubled down.
Yeah, he was getting that guy kicked out, man.
Yeah, I don't think he realized that guy was part owner either.
Well, he could have been like game focused. I don't care that guy shoved me. I just care about winning this game right now, blah, blah, blah. But he was trying to explain it to, I think, Iguodala.
Well, I give credit to Golden State because a lot of their players have come out and been like, can't do that.
Can't do that.
I'm not supporting my minority owner. It's not happening.
If that was my owner, I would... You can't do that.
You're an idiot. You can't do that.
You can't do that regardless of your status. I get mad at Drake for some of the nonsense he does on the sidelines. He's touching Nick Nurse.
I didn't see him last night.
I think they must have been...
I didn't see him once.
I didn't see him
I think that must have been instructions, like, do not flash
him. He wasn't in the seats, clearly.
I think... He had to have been in the building,
I know he was in Oakland. Like, he posted on Instagram, I believe, the day before, like, I'm here or whatever.
It was almost like they were like, don't, I don't know. It was weird because I think it's been the perfect amount of Drake the first couple games. You see that his passion, you see him on the sidelines or courtside, I guess, not sidelines, courtside. Last night, didn't see him once. They were flashing Chili
Jay-Z
Peppers,
was there.
Jay-Z and Beyonce, and Anthony Kiedis, that's his name, Chili Peppers lead singer.
Yeah.
How about the anthems? Metallica was fantastic.
You liked Metallica?
Yes. I didn't think it was interesting at all. I looked at it, I watched it, and I must not know the Canadian anthem very well either, because I thought that girl did a fantastic job, and she's just getting carved for her performance.
I don't like people who take the anthem into their own hands and try to put their stamp on.
I watched it, I was like, that's a beautiful lady, and then she did a beautiful job, she's and then got, all I heard was,
she's got a fantastic
awful.
Voice. Fantastic voice, but I... You see the backlash, because people try to act like they're super patriotic. But don't change this, don't change that. I just... Let's move it along here. I enjoyed Metallica because I thought it was something different. Like, I'm a Metallica fan, though, so...
Yeah, Hatfield, I thought it was okay. I guess Metallica was fine.
Like, why you don't?
I've seen it before. You know, like when you've seen an instrumental version of an anthem,
right?
You've seen it. Yeah, like there's not much more to it. I guess.
Oh, I've seen it a bunch of times. It just doesn't do a whole lot for me. I don't like the anthems anyway.
It doesn't do anything for you unless it's bad.
Right.
Like Flea,
that's the truth.
Flea in L.A., I think people were pointing out.
It's like throwing out a first pitch.
When it's poor, people draw to it or different.
Yeah, that's right.
And last night's Canadian anthem was slightly different, so people had a judgment on it. I didn't love it. I think she's got a beautiful voice. I don't know. I just want to sing it and let's move on here. Let's get to the game. I had some...
Oh man,
I had some nervous energy built up watching. I was pretty excited.
It was one of those games where they came out and they I mean the Raptors performed really well last night. Again, 17 threes on the road, 52% from the field. They gave up what they gave up to Steph Curry, but beyond that, and you're up 2-1 in the NBA Finals, man. You're up 2-1, and Kevin Durant not playing tomorrow night. Klay Thompson's gonna play, but who knows what you're gonna get. You're in a good spot. You should feel confident. Not over, and you can't get cocky about this by any
this
means.
This is far
by
from over. You got to be careful.
Considering where we were, you know, a week or two ago, Raptors up 2-1. They've been the better team through three games. You should feel very good about yourself, I think, if you're Toronto right now. Jack Armstrong will join us in about 10 minutes. We'll get his take on the game last night. Ray's coming up live from Boston. It sounds like Zdeno Chara is going to go tonight.
Are you surprised?
I mean, the guy can't speak, and he's got his mouth wired up. I guess I am a little bit surprised. I know he's a monster.
I'm not surprised because Derek Stepan had that article. I was reading about that yesterday. Like his jaw was wired. Like they gave him the medical clearance. Like it's battling through pain and it's also nutrition because you got to get it into you. I was 95. What did I say in my Jerry's? 91. Like I was 95% in my head. I'm like, this guy's playing.
I thought he was coming back at some point.
Right.
But I wasn't convinced he was going to play tonight.
it is a bit aggressive.
Point.
Yeah, it is a bit aggressive.
I thought it might be like, let it breathe a couple more days.
Does it surprise you? He's 42 years old.
And he's a machine. Like, yeah. I totally understand it. But
if that was Phil Kessel.
Hey, Phil's durable, man.
He is. That's
Phil
true.
Is
actually,
durable.
82 games a year. That's all. Marlowe and Kessel.
Right. Those guys would
still be playing. Yeah.
Be a lot of guys that would not be playing tonight, though.
No.
A lot of guys.
Including
with a broken
myself
jaw.
And him.
Yeah.
And you.
And me. Don't forget me. You've got to remember me.
Birthday boy. We got to treat him with some love.
Yeah.
34?
37, isn't it? Six.
You're no kid anymore.
No, buddy. I'm really not.
No, it's weathered. Yeah, weathered.
I'm really not. All right. Race coming up again from the Cup Final in about 40 minutes. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, our buddy Jack Armstrong coming up here in a moment. You guys see Paul Pierce pregame?
Yes. I tweeted that at Luongo because Luongo had the incident in Anaheim.
Right. What happened there? He had to leave the game?
He had like some pasta and some chicken that kind of went through him, and it was in overtime, and Danny Sabourin had to come in. You want to see a look. Dave Nonis was the manager at the time. Danny Sabourin skates out in overtime, and Luongo's doing a Harry Dunn. You'll see it on the internet. Like, Dave Nonis is like, what is going on? And then Anaheim poured the pressure on. It was like 6 minutes that Sabourin was like under siege.
So in between the third and overtime is when it went down from
either that or first overtime and second overtime. Okay. It was like deep into the game.
Well, I don't believe he needed a wheelchair to get to the bathroom, but Paul Pierce, it's been like 10 years.
Yeah.
Since he was allegedly in agonizing pain, and then he returned to the game, and everyone was like, what a warrior. Well, it turns out this is what actually was happening.
11 years ago today, wheelchaired off the floor for reasons he will keep to himself.
I have a confession to make.
Whoa.
I just had to go to a bathroom. a number a wheelchair? One or a number
I had to
two?
Go to the bathroom.
But why did you need a wheelchair to get to the bathroom?
It was that bad.
Something went down. I had to go to the
bathroom. Oh.
You were streaking?
Have you ever needed a wheelchair?
You could have tied a sweatshirt around your waist, couldn't you?
Could you imagine, though, thinking, I just may have caused a real scene here. Get a wheelchair so that I don't have to walk it off like a walk of shame. Forcing some guy, like a security guard, to wheelchair you around because you're pretty certain you soiled yourself.
With a moose in your pants.
Yeah.
I kind of respect it.
Although he was putting on this face as if like he was injured. So I respect because like he's like, I got to act it up here.
Yes.
Because I don't want people to be like, hey, is there a chance you just...
Yeah, Team America, he acted his way off that court.
Right, exactly. It took 11 years for the truth to finally come out.
That's a fantastic story.
Why not?
I guarantee you the guys in the room knew it. Because he would have had to tell somebody on the bus afterwards, be like, hey...
Yeah, you came back, man. You looked pretty good when you returned. Like, what happened there? You looked like you were going right into surgery, basically. Yeah.
Quick body shower, change of car.
Oh, it must have been a full shower. New gear, top to bottom.
And you are out. That is impressive, though. I love that's a story that...
I'm sure he's not too jacked about it.
Well, he went public with it.
Yeah, as far as
they
you know.
They didn't force him to do it last night. He decided, okay, I guess 11 years is enough time. I'll reveal the truth.
I think it's a fantastic
story.
Good
for him, man.
You get wheelchaired off of the court because...
Because you're a disaster during the game, basically.
Wow.
All right. So we're trying to track down Jack. He may just be dusting us off here. He's having
a time.
Yeah, I think he's up 2-1 in San Francisco.
He's enjoyed himself.
I have a feeling our buddy Jack is having a very good time out there. And he should be.
Yeah.
You know, he should be. The Raptors, they're up 2-1 in the NBA Finals, and they put on a performance last night.
They played very well. They were
just simply the better team. And obviously, Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant not being available, those are significant absentees for Golden State, but the Raptors, they didn't allow it to factor into their psyche.
No.
You know, they all came out and shot the lights out last night. For the most part, they defended well. They still let Steph go off, but you can accept that. That's fine.
The coach summed it up best. He said when they chipped away, they responded. They didn't.
Yeah.
They didn't let it get crazy.
You're right.
As soon as they kind of edged closer, it was like, okay, we're getting it back to 10. We're getting it back to 12.
Yeah. Golden State would go on like a 7-0 run, and it was like right away a dagger three or big two.
A little bit of life, and then you just choke it back out.
I thought it was great.
Yeah. No, it was a fun night if you're a Raptor fan last night. And again, we'll see what happens tomorrow night. But the Canadian Open is ongoing at Hamilton Golf Course.
Quietest Canadian Open.
It's all because of the Raptors.
It is.
It's all because of the Raptors.
And they got a big name.
This is the best field they've had since Tiger was playing.
Yeah. And if there was no Raptors right now, it would be massive. We would probably be down in Hamilton somewhere.
Well, did you hear Brooks Koepka's comments yesterday?
He had more comments again.
Did he double down?
Well, you know, this guy's got a reputation for being... Now, this isn't necessarily an insult. He doesn't really care about tournaments unless they're a major tournament. You know, that's where he wins, right? Yeah. Like, he actually gets criticized to an extent, like... The reason why you can't be considered the same as Tiger Woods or on a path towards Tiger is because Tiger won everything.
Yeah.
You only win the majors. Well, he didn't shy away from that reality yesterday because he was asked about, you know, how important it would be, how cool it would be to win the RBC Canadian Open.
Yeah.
And here's what Koepka said yesterday.
You know, it doesn't really matter about the result. I could care less what happens. I just want to feel good going into next week. It's the same thing at Byron. I thought, you know, as long as I can leave feeling confident, striking the ball very well, starting where I want to, finishing where I want to, and, you know, just hit some good putts. It doesn't matter if they go in or not. I just want to feel confident leaving.
Is it because he's an RBC guy that he's at this event? Because why else would he be there then? Go right to Pebble.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
If you're paying RBC, RBC's probably paying him a lot of money. Probably not happy with that comment.
I don't remember seeing any RBC logo on his golf shirts or anything.
I think, because you said the Byron, I think he played that before the PGA. I think his routine is he plays the week before
a major.
So, he, you know, again, as a Canadian...
It's a slap in the face to the event to say, I don't even care about the result.
Yeah, like, I kind of appreciate the honesty, and I think... Yeah.
Well, keep it to yourself.
But you don't have to be a hero like that.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. Like, you wonder why some people don't like you or feel like you don't care enough about the game because of comments like that. I don't even care if they go in. Why wouldn't you care if they went in? Like, what's wrong with the putt going in?
It's competitive nature, you would care. Like, he's just being a hero. And, you know, he backs it up. But I just, that makes him unlikable.
Yeah, it does. And we'll get to Jack in a minute. We'll come back and get to Jack in about 5-7 minutes. But, yeah, I mean, if he said this about a different tournament, like I'm showing my Canadian bias, I'd probably salute him a little bit more. For the honesty, but because again it's on our turf and it's the Canadian Open and they're trying to get some love, they want, like, they've been treated.
Did he even play last week at Jack's?
No, I don't think he was
there. So what is known as one of the lower totem pole,
well, whatever, the Michelob Open or something. There's a bunch of donkey tournaments.
So if he takes a shot at, like, so he's treating this like a donkey
basically
tournament.
That's what he's saying. He's saying, I don't care that it's your major tournament. I don't care that there's a good field, that there's a lot of money on the line.
He's like, I don't even care about the result.
I couldn't. It's basically,
he just wants to feel good. It's a tune-up. I want to get my game in order.
Right. It's basically what Kawhi and Nick Nurse said all year. We have 82 practices during the regular season and the real stuff.
Yeah, there's some guys that will go into these tournaments and they're prepping with shots, preparing for next week. If they got to hit a bunch of fades or hooks at Augusta National, that's all they will do, and if it doesn't work, they don't even care, as long as they hit those shots.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just prep.
That's what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's, like, and again, I don't think it's an insult to say, wow, he cares only about the major tournament.
Yeah.
Because I think when you get to a certain level, like, Tiger only really cares now about the majors. Like, when he was in his prime, he wanted to win everything. Like, he had that attitude, and he attacked pins everywhere he went, and he won. I mean, what does he have, 88 wins on tour or whatever it is, and only 15 of them are majors. Only.
Yeah.
But he's got, you know, whatever it is, 70 wins on tour that are not major tournaments. But Koepka, this is what he does. He wins made. Although, remember at the PGA, he did say, I'm trying to win. Like, he was asked about that, your reputation of not really caring about these other tournaments. And he's like, well, it's not like I'm not trying. Well, here he's basically saying he's not trying.
Nah.
Like, really, he doesn't care. He actually said, I don't care if they go in. Like, why can't you care if they,
like,
go
isn't
in?
Isn't that the whole idea, that they go in?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
That's why you play the game.
It's a hero comment.
It's a totally hero comment that, again, there's an element of it that I appreciate because it's honest, and that's what we're looking for at athletes.
Yeah, but the honesty makes you unlikable. That's the thing. I look at that guy. I want him to not have success next week.
Right, at Pebble.
At Pebble, because every tournament you're in, you should be at least showing that course and the people put it together some respect.
It's a lack of respect for the field.
Exactly.
It's a lack of respect, because what if he wins it this weekend?
Yeah.
Like, think about if you're a player on tour, you're like, this guy didn't even want to win or care,
but
he still found a way to win,
but he's that good,
and he gives off this nonchalant attitude. Exactly. All right, we'll come back and get back to Jack Armstrong. We'll get his take on the game last night. Ray's coming up at 5:05. Overdrive continues, TSN 1058 on the TSN app. All right, Ray Ferraro coming up from the Cup Final ahead of Game 5 tonight in about 20 minutes. Raptors are up 2-1 in the NBA Finals. Let that soak in. Raptors up 2-1 in the NBA Finals. No Kevin Durant tomorrow night. Klay Thompson will play, but who knows what he's going to bring to the table. And to start teeing up tomorrow night's game and looking back on what was historic for the Raptors last night, a lot of Raptors fans in the house as well, we head out to the Bay Area. Here's our buddy Jack Armstrong. How cool was that last night, Jack?
Oh, it was really cool. It was just a really solid, complete performance. You know, guys were just like game one, just in a good place, you know, just play with the lead, counterpunch whenever they needed to. Played with poise, composure, just a real professional win. And to me, I think that there's a calmness and a maturity level that this group has that, to me, is really critical when you get into moments like this. And I think that calmness and that confidence, and yet there's no cockiness whatsoever, that, you know, I just think it really reflects itself in terms of of making the plays and doing the right things when you need to do them.
Jack, there's a bunch of different storylines, the depth showing up, Van Vliet, Danny Green, but was the key for you Kyle Lowry, who just seemed to be a monster out there, his competitiveness, his ability to drive play, the clutch ability, everything. Was he the key for you?
Oh, he was big. I mean, he and Pascal Siakam, I thought it was important for Siakam to bounce back after kind of a struggle in game two, and he was brilliant in game one. So he was excellent. And I just think the aggressiveness that Lowry brought to the table set the tone for their entire team. Just really played with great energy and purpose. He drove the ball. He got into the paint. That set up opportunities for teammates. He was looking to score. He was hunting down mismatches, really was decisive, always energetic and locked in the way he's supposed to be on the defensive end. So there was just a lot of good things to like and to observe and to witness from him that really obviously made a big difference in terms of just how well they performed.
Jack, how do you assess the job Nick Nurse has done? I think that you being a coach and me being a former player, we might have different views because I was always like, the players go out there and play, and you know the coach is obviously important, but it seems like he's really doing a fantastic job managing everybody, different matchups. How do you assess his job thus far?
He's really good. You know, he's really good in game. I heard a great description a few years ago about coaching, and I reflect back on when I coached, and it's true. There is a dramatic difference between being a peacetime general and a wartime general. You know, and we can all have a lot of different plans, but a lot of times those plans go awry, and it's how you react in the moment. And I think he's really good reacting in the moment and making changes and doing things that are going to benefit his team in a proper way. And, you know, so that's been a big plus for them in terms of just how they're doing things is that he does it in a very calm fashion. And to me, he exudes confidence, not cockiness, but confidence. That, hey, this is all going to work out, and I have the answers. And I think if you look at him versus Steve Clifford, Brett Brown, and Mike Budenholzer, and now against Steve Kerr, I think you look and you know he's got the stage presence and the chutzpah and the confidence and the know-how. And he's paid his dues. He's ready for this moment. So to me, I think if you're a player playing for him, you're very confident he has the answers. And I'll give you the one guy that really matters, and that's Kyle Lowry. If you gain his respect, you're doing something. And to me, I look at the relationship that Kyle has with Nick Nurse, and it's one of mutual respect. And Kyle, you can't fool Kyle Lowry. And he wants answers, and he demands answers. But if you prove to him that you've got them and you're prepared and you know what you're doing, he will follow suit.
With Jack Armstrong here on Overdrive, game four tomorrow night on TSN, tip-off at 9 p.m. The Raptors up 2-1 in the series. You mentioned a couple of words multiple times throughout our chat here, confidence and cockiness. The Golden State Warriors, man, they are the most confident, bordering on cocky, if not full-blown cocky team I've seen in a long, long time.
They deserve that, almost.
Coming into the series, they did. I totally salute them for it. I totally understand it. They've been to five NBA finals. If any team in North American sports is going to be confident, it's them. They're still trying to put forth a front that they've got that same level of confidence. Are you picking up on that, you know, equilibrium in terms of the confidence level going back to the, podium day, media day before game one? Or do you feel like that confidence is cracking a little bit with Golden State?
Oh, you know, they do a great job of putting out the proper message. And the U.S. media feeds off of it. So, to me, some of it is their own, and some of it is wishful thinking on the part of, you know, people that cover them. So to me, I think there's a little bit of both. But there's no doubt in my mind when I hear Steve Kerr speak he's not that way. He's a very respectful guy. I mean, obviously, he's been a player. He's been a coach. He's been a GM. And he's also been a broadcaster. So he understands both sides of it, and all sides of it, actually. And he's very respectful of the Raptors and all that. You know, I think more of it comes from a particularly a guy like a Draymond Green in terms of how he carries himself. And, you know, Clay and Steph are respectfully cocky, but they're confident. They're cocky, deservedly so. And then KD has kind of been elusive right now, and obviously he's been announced that he'll be out for tomorrow's game. You know, and to me, I think it's just a matter of, for the Raptors right now, when I got on the plane the other day to come out here, I say to myself, you know what? The last time the Raptors were in this building, they destroyed the Warriors, and the Warriors had their entire roster. And the Raptors didn't even have Kawhi Leonard in that game. And you know, so the Raptors have played these guys five times this year. I've done all five of them. I've watched every second of every game. And the Raptors have won four of the games and arguably could have won the other one. You know, so I think if you're a player or a coach right now for the Raptors, you're going, hey, man, all right. Yeah, they're good. Congratulations. You got banners and you got rings. Good for you. But, hey, man, we not only can hang with you, you got to find a way to hang with us. And I think these are really good teams playing each other.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. Game four tomorrow night on TSN. Jack, enjoy your time out there, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
Guys, my pleasure. Have a great night.
There's Jack Armstrong, our TSN Raptors reporter.
And there's only one way to game plan for the next one. It's Klay Thompson being completely healthy and going to be amazing, and you better worry about him and shut him down.
Yep.
Because there's no thinking, oh, he's going to be hot. We talked about it earlier. Make him run up and he'll do that, and he'll probably be awesome. So don't think anything else will happen.
Go in there and just expect him to put up 25 points and defend well.
Exactly.
And that's only going to help you get prepared for the game tomorrow night. Tomorrow's a kill shot for the Raptors. It has that
you
possibility. Ray Ferraro from the Cup Final back into the big win by the Raptors last night. Hour two up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.